What's up, guys? It's Nate Ferrone. Just want to let you know before we get into this episode of Joy Tactics, I have a show in Chicago this Friday, July 26th. That's right, July 26th at 8 p.m. at the Color Club with Claire Ruddy. Yep, it's about to go the fuck down this Friday. Get your tickets now. Show link in the show notes. Get your tickets now. All right.
Welcome to Joy Tactics, the podcast dedicated to all things joyful, joyous, and meeting as many celebrities as humanly possible. Hosted by Eric Rahill, Nate Ferrone, and Jack Bensinger. Enjoy.
And now, guys, this is an amazing episode. Something amazing has happened, and we have a most amazing guest. It's Joe Pera is with us today. Can you believe it?
Celebrities all around us.
Welcome, Joe.
Lovely to be here, guys.
Joe, have you ever listened to Smartless?
No. I just saw the trailer for the documentary where they ride around in the airplane, in the private plane in black and white.
Whoa. They have it like that. They got it like that monetarily. But they talk for, if you listen to it, they talk for about 8 minutes before they bring the guest on, and the guest is just on Zoom silent. So it's funny to imagine like Matthew McConaughey being silent and like nodding.
Oh my God. He must come on really hot then, because he probably has so many ideas he does.
Right.
Well, Joe specifically, we were going to do that and kind of riff, and I was going to do my show plug, and we were going to talk for it. But Joe was like, I need to like get it up on the conversation like fucking immediately. And it was like very demanding about how would go down before. But
Joe has a rider.
We respect
for
you, and we want you to have a good episode, and we want you to feel good, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day.
Thanks. There's just a lot to say about wilderness and politics, everything right now.
Well, and that Joe kind of just dropped it on you guys, on the listeners. That's what we're talking about today. No, it's going to be the title of the thing, so they already know, but we're talking about the wilderness today, and that could mean so many different things, couldn't it? Because there's the natural wilderness, which is trees and streams and rocks and rivers, what have you. It's what was here before us. Right. But then there's sort of a mental wilderness, which we will get into, which I know you're very familiar with, Joe. That's where you go creatively to write your stories and your stand up.
bring it back like tropical fruit from the jungle. Present that's the crowd there for your night.
Wow.
Ideas
are fruit that can't go bad. They can only get better with the time and thought. That's why they say
you're like
fruitful.
Shimmying up the coconut tree with the belt to get the coconut.
Yeah. Up the coconut tree. Like Jack said, maybe there's some cows on the island you milk, and then you bring back some milk from that one cow that ran away. Into the wild, into the island.
Oh, you know, that one got the good milk.
Wild milk.
Imagine this, a cow milking into your mouth in one hand, coconut milking into the other hand, and you're just experiencing so many different kinds of milk.
Do you guys think a drunk farmer has ever sucked the milk straight from the udder?
Are you kidding
coming
me?
Home from the ale house and start sucking
are
on
you
the milk
kidding
on the
me?
Udder?
He sucked on one udder, jacked off the other one.
Nate, Nate.
It's smacked not it off. After. Get up out of here. Get out of here.
Can you jack?
Well,
off
sometimes it's
else?
Like it's literally a favor to the cow, because that shit hurts if you leave that milk in there, because they can't even get there because they don't have hands that can reach down.
Is that true? It hurts them.
Literally,
you
have to milk
in there.
Well, Joe, do you know about this? You have to milk them.
I went to a dairy farm in Michigan one time, and I was worried because they hit the mechanized system now. It's kind of creepy looking. They put it on
udders,
and they apparently love it. They like wait in line to use it because it's a relief for them. So weird as it looks, I think you could have an issue with the whole system, but it's a relief, at least in the short term.
That's amazing news.
And how
I thought we were
it?
Abusing these animals, but no, they like it. They like it like that.
So why do we think that we don't have something like that for people? And I'm not saying sexually. I know
circulation.
Thinking that. No,
of course not.
Just for getting things like milk out. Because what people don't have milk build up, but everybody has built, every human is built up with something, whether it's saliva, whether it's negative comments on something, whether it's
trauma
from getting flicked off by a gym teacher or something.
Yeah,
everyone needs a release, I think is what you're saying. What? Needs to release some sort of anger, fluids. Insults, you know, somebody you need to release at some point. All right. And how are you going to do it? Are you going to do it in the kickboxing gym? Are you going to
Joe, how do you get out your energy? You're all pent up from a show. We were talking about this before. You're all pent up from doing another sold out show. You have all this energy from all the admiration. What do you do to get that energy out?
Well, I have a couple beers with Carmen, or yesterday we went to the sauna. Sometimes we look for a sauna. Oh. It's a good thing to do. And the one in Portland, it was great. Everybody, it felt, we were the only ones there actually wearing bathing suits. So
it was a nude?
Yes, and it was co-ed. Granted, we were some of the only people there under 60 years old. And, on a Friday morning, but I think that sweating it out is a good thing to do. And then I kind of was jealous. There were some guys, it was two houses that were connecting, and it was in a sunny backyard. And one guy even had, he was just a big belly. I shouldn't talk about everybody's body that kind of goes against sauna code, but he was just laying there with his genitalia towards the sun, and it felt like that would feel great. That would be probably a better release than I got with my swimsuit on.
Well, let me just say this. Having a giant belly in the sauna is a status symbol. The people who are walking around confident, slapping their flat feet around. This is me, by the way, because that's how I enter a sauna. But it is like, it's the one place where you feel like this is all good.
Do they have beers? They have kombucha on tap, but the kings of the sauna, I think, if from a male perspective, are the really skinny old man with the extremely large penis and the very large fat man with the very small penis. Those guys.
Right. Those are the power runners, man. There's a different hierarchy in the sauna than in the real world, you know? Those people, I laugh at them. On the street.
Right. You never know when you're looking at somebody what their position would be in the sauna hierarchy. In the real world, right. You see them, whatever, sitting and playing with their wedding ring at a Subway by themselves. But cut to later in 30 minutes, that's basically the Batman of the sauna. Joe, how hot do you like it?
Skinny with a Coke can is the, you know what I'm saying? That is an ultimate powerful move. No one's suspecting it.
Who do you think wins out? The skinny with soda can or bigger man?
It depends on the situation. That's a curious question that you've raised, Joe, because in a foot race, it's the skinny with the Coke can. But in a sort of, if it's like a feast style, whatever, you know, environment I think then it's the bigger guy.
Endurance.
If it's a hot dog eating.
If it's the hot dog eating. No, but that's not true. But the long distance race. It's not true?
Well, because the skinny guys sometimes can eat the most, which is so interesting to me. I don't know how they can. Like, Joey Chestnut's kind of skinny, right?
Well, yeah.
Or there's one of those guys is hella skinny.
Takira Kobayashi, of course, is.
Yeah, Takira Kobayashi.
8% body fat. I can't believe it. On the latest metadata, so I don't know. He's still
So, Joe, when is the last time, speaking of wilderness, when's the last time you really touched nature like that and you really unplugged?
We went for a nice hike in Asheville. That's another nice way to get to release on tour while minding your P's and Q's and avoiding hangovers and so forth, or not losing money at the casino online like
I've never lost. I haven't lost yet. I'll probably lose someday, sure. But I've never lost yet. Not one single spin, not one hand. It's really weird. Wow.
That's great. But yeah, we go hike, we try and find a hike when we got the energy. Asheville was really nice. We went swimming in Vancouver. So that, that felt kind of wildernessy. But those were probably, Asheville was probably the last time I did a big hike.
Is it possible?
I have a question, Joe. Do you have any fear in nature when you're on that hike or anywhere? Do you have a fear that you're going to brush up against a plant that has poison ivy on it? Are you fearful of a mountain lion, of snakes? Because wilderness is okay. Sun we're exposure. Talking about the piece of it, but
yeah, the bug,
the nature. In reality, if we want to get real, is a dangerous place. All right, and we sometimes our modern form that we have, we don't belong there. Okay. So do you have any fear when you go into nature that you're going to get fucked up by some shit out there?
The snakes get me. Really? I went hiking in Arizona, a beautiful hike. I forget the name of it, but it was outside of Tucson. And the whole time I kept on looking under the rocks before I took another step. I don't know where a buffalo guy like me got such a fear of serpents, but...
I think it returns to a spiritual level. I think our fear of serpents is spiritual. Would you say that? Back to the Garden of Eden?
Spirit?
Must be. When I get stressed, I dream that there are snakes in my bed.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me? That's the devil.
It might be. Or just, I think it might be. Remember that scene from Gladiator where the guy gets assassinated?
Mm-hmm. By a snake?
When they put... By a snake. It might have come from that. Arrow. Yeah, that scene.
What's interesting is that there are human snakes as well, especially in the entertainment industry, which I know you're familiar with, Joe. We're not name dropping anybody. We're not even gossiping, but we're just acknowledging that there are dark energies in the entertainment industry, and we call them snakes and rats. You don't got to spill any tea, but I just wanted to bring that up to you.
Joe, you're a very powerful, I would say you're a power player in the comedy world and in Hollywood. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would seriously say that, Joe. And I want you to answer this honestly. Okay. Have you ever had any contact, signed any sort of contract with some sort of Illuminati? You know, you're at some crazy mansion party, you went into a back room. There's
Fluffy sitting right there playing dice.
Fluffy. Gabriel Iglesias has about $600 on his arm, all laid out, $100 bills.
Have you been in contact with these people, Joe?
No. Well, not. The only time that it got weird was we were about to shoot the first shot of our Adult Swim show, and a man in Milwaukee wearing all black suit, sunglasses, walked on, handed me a, he said, are you Joe? I want you to put this in the shot. And he handed me a printed out picture of the devil. I can't do that.
You made a choice that day. So few actors and actresses would make that choice. They would actually put the shot in the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go back
to sign that deal. Printer paper. Yeah.
So the Men in Black came to you?
Men in Black, I don't know. I know he said, fine, in that case, you know, just know that the show is going to be limited to 3 seasons.
It won't go beyond really? That. Oh, he was gracious. He gave you 3 seasons.
Yeah, because he wanted to give you a shot, at least. He wanted to see some of that shit. But not too much. Not till you got your head too big.
Oh, yeah. We said, do we have time to take a moment before we do this? And we had a Catholic priest come on, said, sprinkle holy water on the camera. Parmesan cheese. And we continue. Yeah.
And I just want to say, this is completely unrelated. If you're just listening to the audio, there is a fifth square that is a picture of the devil right now, but it is not anything right. to do with that. That is just a glitch. Probably iOS.
Can you imagine Joe Parrott in hell? That'd be crazy. I could never imagine you in hell, Joe. Like, I don't care what your religious
only
affiliation
with,
is.
Listen, I could imagine Joe in hell, but with two Gatling guns firing off at all the fucking demons. Wearing all fucking cyber like green chainmail that you got.
Getting on
from
like a
fucking,
rope. You put yourself in a bucket like you're lowering yourself into a well from heaven, and you're kind of like riding this little rope down into hell. Hello, fools.
I imagine you on
where's the devil at?
you're like on a helicopter, and you know how like that mind freak guy, he would put like hooks into his back, you know, and like hang from the ceiling. Like, you'd be on a helicopter that's like riding you around. You got hooks in your back, and you got fucking two fucking AK-47s. There's all these fucking demons that are trying to go on top of each other to make a mountain on top of each other, and you're like fucking firing off like unlimited amount of ammo.
And it's not all bad.
And then you
stuff,
fucking run
way.
Out of the Gatling, you run out of the bullets, and then you find the devil. Oh shit, I'm all out. Whoops. And then you take out a metal whip and whip his ass to death.
A tiny whip, though. It's really
small.
Yeah,
really small. Like a nub.
And by the way, you're not alone. Because right behind you and your back, because they think at one point they think they got you. They're grabbing. Oh shit, hold on. There's somebody behind Joe that maybe's.
Oh, it's Carmen. Oh shit, Carmen.
Speaking of the devil, uh-oh.
I thought you were going to say Stranger Things, kids.
Could you just say before Carmen throws up that a Gatling gun, like me going down to hell is like Civil War era uniform, but heaven Civil War uniform. With like a Civil War rifle.
Welcome to the show, Carmen Christopher, everybody.
It's hard
Carmen
to believe.
Christopher. We're recording the podcast right now, Carmen. By the way, this
we can't hear him.
Somehow we can't hear.
Somehow
Carmen.
I can't hear a word from Carmen.
I don't know why. Like, literally, there's say something.
Can you
Carmen.
Hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
we got you.
I said she's probably A minor. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They know where you stand on the
We're about to do an all dudes and all guys, not like us, a cappella version right now.
Wait, Carmen, can you get sturdy? People have been asking us a lot.
Yeah, could you get sturdy for us real quick?
Do you know what
that?
Oh, fucking
hell. No, what is that?
All right, that answers
that
question.
Do you know what that is? Can you get sturdy? Do you know what that is, Joe? Joe doesn't know what sturdy is either.
Get sturdy.
What is sturdy? You guys are making up shit.
No, it's just
Carmen,
cool,
did you guys get faded last night? We heard that you had some tequila last night,
bro. Yeah, I got pretty drunk actually. I'm just waking up right now and I think I smell like shit, but somebody told Joe that he smelled like shrimp last night. and then they were immediately like no, that's good. And then the other person by us was like, yeah, I love how shrimp tastes. Yeah, and we were like, you can't like back away from this. This is bad. Joe smells like shrimp.
How did they get so close to know what he smells like? That's my question.
Right. That means that they're up in his business and the security's not doing their job.
I actually agree with that. He's got some crazy fans and they get a little bit too close. No, his fans are nice. His fans are nice. Hit me up. his fans are good. Wait, tell me what sturdy is real quick, because I feel bad that I'm interrupting. And
it's,
I know that Joe's fans are like,
it's how you dance to drill music. You know drill music?
Yeah, I know drill music. let's see, Verone, you gotta do it.
I bet you if I had a lesson or two, if I took my drill hip hop class, dance class, you better believe I could fucking
I believe it. I've seen you dance. You're a good dancer. Here's what I could definitely do. I could do the part in the crip walk when you're holding the other guy's hand and you're like dancing around. Like, you know that part when you like hold the other guy's finger dance around?
Yeah.
That shit's hard.
It's kind of sweet. I think it's kind of
really
sweet,
like,
actually.
It's really like, it was really beautiful. It was like a really... Damn, you guys are all in like fucking mansions and shit. Look at fucking Eric and fucking Jack. I know where Nate lives though. So
I think
I'm
close to
mansion.
You, Carmen. Now I'm in Highland Park.
Oh
now.
Shit. Yep. Oh, yo, don't leak that on the pod. We're gonna have a bunch of people, a bunch of Joy Tactic fans moving into town, raising up rent. You know your fans are rich. You know you guys got rich
I
fans.
I know. We definitely know that.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing, though. Do you want me to give these back to Joe? I feel bad. I know this.
Well,
is,
first off, we're talking about the wilderness, just real quick. Do you have anything to say about the wilderness?
Yeah, drop a line
the
about
topic
the wilderness
of the episode.
The wilderness.
What does wilderness mean to you?
Wilderness means to me being outdoors, either camping or on a hike, and just really just like hanging with the guys.
Yeah.
Probably like 40, 50 guys just on a trail, just like shirts off, drinking
getting
water.
Sturdy.
Drinking water.
Just sturdy. Getting sturdy. Pulling out the pill speaker, playing They're Not Like Us in the nature. The trees are fancy. the tree leaves are crip walking. And then you kind of like get to a camp, put up a tent and some fire, make some tacos on that fire. And then, basically just like go to bed and just kind of
just jerk
like,
it.
Yeah, for sure. that's what I had to say, but I kind of like pulled up for a second. Man, I love the wilderness. Going in the water. You know, Joe and I, went to a national park last tour. We went to Zurcher Lake, was it? Or what was it, where we went in the water? Avalanche Lake, sorry. And it was like, the water was like negative 20. And we got out, and I never felt more refreshed. So, guys, if you're not, I know you guys definitely talk about cold plunges on this pod.
We certainly do.
Did you have a whole episode dedicated to it?
Not yet, but we will. Certainly.
Carmen,
well, that'll be
you
your episode, Carmen.
You're the first person to actually, I feel like you were on to the cold exposure, like, I'm not kidding you, like a decade before.
I really was.
Everybody else, like, I remember you were talking about like taking cold showers like 10
inner fire
10 12 years ago, and literally nobody even knew about this. You were on the
nobody
the, you
was
were the first wave of this.
I was like telling people, I was like, there's all this like studies, there's DNA with, you know, how close we are to Neanderthals, and we become too comfortable, we can survive like really harsh things. But and I was like, it's good for your immune system. I was like going nuts and telling people because I read this book. It's called, I forgot what the book was called, but it was
Inner Fire.
It was this Wim Hof book where, he climbed Mount Everest with no shirt and no shoes on in these extreme temperatures with like a group of people, and they survived. And basically they were just like fucking cut. They look like animals. They look good, but your body can handle extreme temperatures, but we've just become so comfortable on the couch listening to Joy Tactics, watching tires, fucking, you know, smoking weed, fucking ordering fucking Mendocino Farms on DoorDash, and fucking
good
whacking it. That's everybody just got too comfortable. Everybody needs to get back to their core self. Right.
Well, you know, we don't let people listen to this shit from their house. It's like a VPN style. Like, you can't even with a VPN. Like, people, if you see clips of people listening to Joy Tactics, they're on the in a mountain. You know what I'm saying? Like, sleeping on the edge of a mountain in a hammock. This is true. They're on the train in Japan, making sure that people are aware of local politics.
Yeah.
So we're doing our part.
You guys have an elite group of men listening, and I appreciate you guys letting me interrupt.
Yeah.
I feel Joe keeps going like this to give him the mic back.
So. We're
going to
get you on for a whole – Carmen, we got to get you on for a whole episode.
And wait, before Carmen gets off, you got a special coming out, right?
August 1st on Veeps. It's the streamer. I'm not talking about the TV show Veeps. August 1st on Veeps. Carmen Christopher live from the Windy City.
It's so good. It's like, literally, so I'm not kidding you. It's one of the best hours of stand-up I've ever seen. Like, it's so fucking
sweet.
Tight, dude. You guys are going to die. Like, fucking watch it on August 1st when it comes out. So good.
And Carmen, when you see that shit has 200 more views than it was going to have before.
That's us. That's our fucking army.
That's us, man.
The Joy Talkers army.
Luckily, I won't see the views because this shit costs $11.99. Woof.
Oh, that's not
yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you better watch this shit. I know you guys are rich listening. I love you guys.
Later, bye, Carmen.
Bye, Carmen.
Later, dogs. See you, brother. You guys rock. All right, later, dogs.
Wow. And a pop-in guest. You never know what's going to happen Joy Tactics. Sarah Sherman came in the fucking two episodes ago. Yeah, Carmen came in. Yeah, that's Adam just Divine what it's about. Who knows who else is in fucking Joe's hotel right now?
There are probably listeners that have a hard time comprehending how we make all these connections and how we know so many people. But you just work hard enough and you're kind, you'll find your group.
Yeah, and you don't even have to be kind. Like, you could be really mean too.
You could be mean as hell. Joe, thanks for being patient. I know that you just lost about 8 minutes of the interview that you're looking forward to with us, but appreciate you chilling.
Sorry, Carmen is so I would admit he's a more fun person to talk to anyhow. And I'm not saying that to tease you. I genuinely think he's more interesting and fun to talk to on a regular basis than I am.
No, man. No, untrue. Everybody's interesting in their own ways. That's the truth.
Yeah. So it's great to be on tour with him, though. And also, I get a tax credit for bringing him along. So.
Oh, right. Okay. There.
Right. No, that's amazing. So generous.
You make him very aware of that every show.
I do. I mean, the government thinks he'd get up to some bad stuff if he wasn't on the road.
Joe, what is it, if you had to choose one body of water or a pool in the entire, a pool, lake, ocean, stream, a river, what is your favorite one in the whole world? If you could go right now and hop in that pool or river or ocean, what would it be?
Well, I mean, I love Lake Superior. I love my home lake, Lake Erie, despite the pollution. But that lake that Carmen and I swam in and Glacier National Park, the Avalanche Lake, was pretty incredible. It was just, I don't know, the water felt magic. You go underwater, it's so cold, and everything around you is like this emerald.
Whoa.
The way that the light shines through, it was this clear, clean water.
Snow melt, right? Is that snow melt? So it's ice ass cold.
Yeah, but it was very heavy. We had to do a 2-hour hike. Carmen just forgot his wallet. We'll see how long it takes for Oprah.
Do you think you could take a slurp out of that water?
Yeah, probably.
You think if you drank it, you wouldn't die?
I'm sure. I was going to say, I love like day trips into the woods and stuff, but I'm not taking like backcountry trips or anything like that.
You're not doing like survival trips.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I wish. I know I've got one of those life straws that you can drink anything through, but other than that, like I wouldn't be able to tell you which streams or lakes are safe to drink from if you were in a survival situation.
You know how the Jackass guys had that wildlife handler, the guy with the long hair, he handled the crocodiles?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need that type of guy, I think, for our general larger group to take us out on wilderness experiences. No phones, no iPads, no computers. Imagine the type of shit that we would write all together. Can you imagine?
Can I confess something?
Well, say it now.
I don't think I've ever been in the woods. I don't think I've ever been in the wilderness.
Oh, Jack's never been camping. Jack has never been camping in his life, Joe.
Oh, we gotta go.
You can see it on me. I look like a porcelain doll made out of fucking mayonnaise.
When the war ends in Russia, mm-hmm. when that is all taken care of and they've paid for their crimes, I think we all go camping around Lake Baikal. Do you know
the deepest lake in the world?
Yeah. Do you know the mystery of Lake Baikal, Joe?
I don't. What is it about?
It's the deep. Well, Jack just said it, but it's the deepest lake in the entire world. And I don't even know if they've been to the bottom of that shit. Landlocked. Nobody knows what could have made that type of impact in the earth.
There's a well. Well.
So it's ice cold. Could be a meteor.
Old civilization tried to dig down to the center of the earth.
That's, yeah. Well, I didn't want to go there so fast, but that's what we were suspecting.
That's one of our theories. You know, there, of course there was a civilization that was like, let's just keep digging.
Oh,
like,
just of dig course, because think about how a rock forms. It doesn't form from the outside in like a one of those chocolates, Lindor chocolates, but minus the inside, right? It goes the other way. It
Let
starts
me,
from a
can
core.
I ask a question?
So the core, hold on a second. It started with the core, and layer by layer, there was civilizations. See what I'm saying? Jinx, you guys both.
Well, we've never seen a rock form, have we? We know they've just. I think that aside from volcanic rock, all the rock that there is on the earth, there's no new rock coming, right?
No. How does it start though? Dust.
You can't make
together.
New rock.
It starts with dust. The dust comes together hard enough, or dirt.
Is that fact? Do you know, Joe, how rock is formed?
Yeah, sure. There are a variety of ways, and I no offense, Jack, but I don't think rocks grow as like
you saying they start at the size they start at, and then they densify.
Oftentimes bigger. I mean, I guess you could say that igneous rock could grow as the lava forms on top of it. A lot of rock is matter that goes under pressure and then is broken apart for some reason.
Okay. So a
and
rock
that's what we know as sand.
Dandruff.
Sure. Yeah, that's the smallest rock.
Earth-style dandruff.
I'm so glad we got into geology. Right. I didn't think we would get there this episode. I didn't think we'd get this deep into, but I'm quite loving this crazy ass discussion right now.
If you want to understand the world, you gotta know what it's made out of.
That is so true.
Otherwise, you don't.
Well, you mentioned world wars, and I'm wondering, Joe, do you have like any sort of, I guess, what's your plan for when? Because we just felt the impact of a power grid sort of tech
cyber strike
could do. We have the planes grounded. Microsoft. What is this? What was the story, Eric? You broke this. You're like the breaking news correspondent in my life right now. You just somehow have the minute like update of like the Trump assassination and.
Well, Lou Dobbs is dead. Lou Dobbs passed away badly.
No.
A day or two ago, the conservative media pundit. And yeah, there's a global outage. Do you know about this, Joe? Were you affected by this at the airport?
Almost. I guess almost all our Air Canada flight was fine, but we were driving to the airport. We got up at 5 a.m. to go to the Vancouver airport to come down, and the Uber driver kind of got excited when we told him that we got the message that our flight could be canceled, and he was like, $800, I'll drive you to Portland right now. I'll have you there by 10 a.m.
Oh my God.
Luckily, we decided. Yeah, it was pretty cool. He was like, I've already been to. No, our flight was okay, thank goodness.
Oh.
Air Canada somehow wasn't affected. But
somehow.
Yeah, he said he'd.
Wonder where the strike came from.
Because they're probably on Apple.
I smell because
it was only Windows devices. How curious they're coming for Android. How curious that this only affected Windows devices. And how curious Tim Cook hasn't been seen. And I bet his ass has been hacking that in a downstairs lair for months to try to get this shit right, taking out the Windows machines. All hopped up, all caffeinated, all ecstasied out, hacking.
Ooh. That is the upcoming war. They're worried about Democrats versus Republicans. It's really Microsoft versus Apple.
Versus
Apple. Right. Right.
Yeah, that's going to be, and they like to say it's going to be bloodless, but actually it's quite the opposite. It's going to be very gory.
And it's going to be worse. You're going to see brain matter more than blood even, because it's just
when,
all about the brain. Yep.
When I got that notification, though, that the plane, it said the New York Times didn't know what it was, so it was like, planes are down, banks are down, all infrastructure is failing.
Obama,
I remember just thinking, like, this is what we had predicted. this is what we had predicted.
It's what they tried to warn us off
easy
movie.
This time.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did they? Let me ask then. So, Joe, what's in your what's in your bug out bag?
What's in the bug out bag, Joe?
Life straw knife.
Mm-hmm. It's a butterfly knife.
No, more. I got a Griptilian. There's a nice leather man. You could buy the leather man that have a fire starter on it. So nice. If you get a non, you can buy a fire starter you hang around your neck. That's flint and steel, and you could carry it with you to make the sparks. And I think if you got those few things, you'd be at least have some chance. Without a knife or a fire, you'd be in trouble. But I told Carm because we were.
Could I add something to your bug out bag just to protect you? Because I think you're thinking of like survival right now, but I don't think you think about how much, you know, like sort of Mad Max style, like violence, human to human violence is going to happen where people are going to be fighting over goods and produce. So can I add, I think you should get a tank of gasoline in there so you can pour it on somebody and then flick your flint on them. And like, that could be your thing.
Gasoline,
people could think
soaker.
You're like, oh, this person just has like a little knife. They're chill. They don't have any weapons. And you just douse them with some gasoline, flick that fucking flint on them, light their ass on fire.
Mm-hmm. That's something to keep in mind, Joe.
That's something to keep in mind.
For
then
you
get their green onions, you get their fucking their kale.
Well, but here's the thing: if you burn them, because I think you should also get a magnum with a scope, and then after you've burned and killed them, hit headshot them with the magnum with the scope up close. Don't even look at that shit and have everybody watch. So.
What are you gonna say,
I just wondered if yesterday you saw the news headline that some flights were canceled and the bank system went down, and you just like immediately go try and start your neighbor on fire. this is it. I gotta get his toiletries, and you just set him
on. Your neighbor who's on a reality television show.
Right. Oh. My neighbor's a reality television star.
On the new Vanderpump set his show, ass on Joe. Fire.
You know what's funny about this? Can I point something out to the national security of the United States of America?
Point it out now.
Because what do you not want to be having people bring on airplanes? A gun, a bomb, a squib.
Or a bad attitude.
A bad attitude, a baby. Sometimes those are suck. Do you think that you should be allowed to have fire starting tools on a plane? Do you think you should be allowed to have matches, a box of matches on an airplane? Because I have been doing that every day for a long time, bringing matches onto an airplane. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I could light myself or not myself because I wouldn't do that. But light, you know.
Right.
I could disguise gasoline in so many things. You could soak a bug in gasoline and keep it in a box. Oh, what's that? Go through security because you know what I'm saying? When are we going to illegalize bringing matches onto airplanes?
Joe, do you know?
I don't know the rules. I mean, don't remember. You could get up to bed. Why? What are you bring your cigar case and a box of matches?
Yeah.
For when you're on tour,
yeah, there's a just for the airplane ride, because there's a really small hole. If you put your head all the way into the toilet and light a Cuban, and you just keep pressing the flush, no one's gonna know, no one's gonna smell it.
There's a squirm opener arrested and kicked off airplane for smoking a cigar on.
You call them Cubans, but they're just like the. Remember those like clove cigarettes?
Black and milds.
What are you afraid the plane is going to go down in the jungle or something when you and Sarah go on tour in South America and you need your matches to survive?
The last thing I'm afraid of is a plane crash, first and foremost. I beg for it. Because I want a moment like that where I can rise to the occasion. Because you see it in the movies, and you're like, dang, I think I'd be good in a low gravity disaster scenario. And here's another thing. You know what's fun when there's turbulence? You kind of lift up, kind of do like a, a wall sit on your chair, you can kind of feel it in a more interesting way.
Zero gravity. I just heard something horrible.
That's cool.
Yeah, try it.
I heard that. Remember the Challenger explosion?
I don't want to, but yeah.
Yeah.
It came apart in midair, and we all thought they passed away immediately.
Oh, no.
Turns out.
Oh, no.
They were alive.
Oh.
Still no. In the air after it came apart.
Oh, my God.
So that was a worse.
Well.
Incident that we had suspected.
You brought up the jungle sort of crash scenario where it's like the plane crashes and yeah, there's like five people that survive. You're on an island, Lost style.
It's you,
know what I'm saying?
Sarah Sherman,
her boyfriend, James Austin Johnson,
Marcello, and
all
the whole cast of SNL. It's a whole current cast of SNL, but some are dead. We won't say who.
Well, I was going to ask, like, what do you think of, like, surviving in a sort of, like, cannibalistic way? Because, like, a lot of times in those scenarios, somebody's going to, you know, eat another person, you know, just to survive. Or would you be like, I'm just going to tap out. Like, I don't think I need to survive, like, a little bit longer. Like, if it's getting to cannibalism, like, I don't know, maybe I just need to just starve to death and just pass out on this island.
I don't think I would. Try everything I could do to not eat people. I don't know. I haven't seen that movie. I don't know. I think you could make a pretty good goal of it without doing that. But then again, have you guys seen that movie about the soccer team that had to do that?
In the Andes.
Wait, no.
They were in a mountain, though, which is a little bit tougher survival situation. And I think they only ate their dead teammates, right?
Mm. Is that a real story? Passed. It's true?
It's very real. It's very real, Jack.
Can we all say right now whether we would want our friends to do that to each other? I mean,
on account of food, sure.
Joe. Yeah, sure. In fact, because when you eat mushrooms, they say that you're giving the mushrooms a lens into the world. So it's actually maybe something we should do for every funeral to just let everybody keep the cycle going, keep the consciousness alive.
Mm.
Not the worst idea.
Joe, you would offer yourself up. You would offer your corpse.
If I had passed, why? Yeah, why not?
But keep the head intact.
Yeah. There are parts I would prefer people maybe show a little respect to. Like, you guys don't need to eat my eyeballs and genitals, but
the pecs. You've been working out on that fucking Bowflex, dude. Those pecs are looking.
Can you imagine if this was like an Estonian podcast and you had to wait for the translator to like to translate what you're saying, long pause, and then respond to those type of questions?
we're all strangers.
Interesting theory. Like if people, you know, say like bodybuilders are kind of selfish because they eat so much protein and stuff like that and spend so much time on the gym. Maybe they're just looking out for their loved ones if they get in the survival situation.
That's interesting.
Putting on flesh for my friends.
And what type of marinade do you think you would be good in, Joe? Like what would you want? What do you think the perfect, like if we had like the Weber grill out, Joe's dead, we're fucking slicing up his thighs and pecs. What kind of like marinade do you think would you want?
Something lighter. Like, you know, like a souvlaki marinade, something. You know, not too. I feel like if you're barbecuing a friend, it's gone too far, and you're like trying to say
it's too celebratory.
It should be a celebration. It should be a celebration. I think,
but that's
my opinion.
Celebration, because when do you barbecue, dude? When you don't give a shit about anything. I'm sorry to the July 4th holiday, but think about respectful foods. You make a slider. You put the slider at a funeral all day long. You know what I'm saying? What else is at a funeral? I guess it depends what country you're in, but I could imagine like a little cup of sag paneer or something with Joe in it. You want to cry.
Yeah. Joe Para sag paneer.
You would go with an Indian food profile from my flesh.
It's a fusion. It's a fusion.
Joe, what is your origin story? I mean, like, are you Irish?
I'm half Italian. Both my grandparents are Sicilian, and then on the other side, it's German Irish.
Now it all makes sense.
You're Italian.
What do you identify with more?
A lot of people forget that, and I'm glad you're giving me the opportunity to remind them. But
well, you dye that mustache black. You look exactly like I would suspect an Italian. Man, to look.
Who's Italian? Who is there any famous Italian people?
Oh, Sebastian Maniscalco.
Adrian Brody. Adrian really? Brody.
Really?
I don't know. He looks it to me.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of Italians in the.
Oh, guess what? We might go to Italy, all three of us.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it smart if we go to Italy for a week and bank like half a year's worth of podcast
80 episodes?
So it's like a whole year of Italy.
You're just going to go there for a week and podcast from a hotel room all the time. Mm-hmm.
There's a Marriott Bonvoy, see, like, the, though, that's really
you can't even tell that we're in Italy, like, at all. Like, there's no... You know what, Joe? You had on our live... This was a Patreon episode, but you were on the live show, our first live show at the Bell House in New York, and you were, like, cracking up at the thought of us doing a... USO. I think about it like sometimes and laugh about it, but you're like, if we were doing a live podcast for the troops, how disappointed they would be.
So pissed.
Yeah.
I'm and sure. You were really cracking up at the thought of us
going
overseas.
What's funny is that's the truth last year, but since we've made some small television appearances, mm-hmm. now they legit would be fucking getting violent to get up front and pushing each other over. There'd be some stampeding deaths in the crowd just to get close.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of tying things together, Connor, because we've been talking about, you know, if perhaps Trump had been... Carmen puts compromised. He's talking like an FBI guy. If Trump was compromised last week and we went into a civil war, we'd be nervous about it. And I said, oh, because he said if Trump was passed, he the attention, or I'm sorry, can I, let me just. Mm-hmm. Carmen said that if he's happy Trump was not. Killed, because then all the attention would be on that as opposed to the release of his new stand-up special. But I was saying, if there's a civil war started by an assassination, and it's anything like the last civil war, it won't be so bad for podcasters, comedians, because if you think about it, the last civil war, most of the time you're fighting like 3 to 5% of your time, and the rest of your time is spent marching around and camping in the woods with your friends, pretty much. Yep. And like somebody's got to entertain around the campfire. That's right. Carmen can do his hour, or you guys go campsite to campsite, do a little podcast for
that's
the guys.
Second wow. City archive material.
Wow. Right.
And I also would fight. Say
we just podcast for the troops. Just follow them around. Yeah.
Well, if we could also podcast from the front lines. You podcast and you watch your best friend killed senselessly.
You know how press have like a certain helmet, and they like kind of, it's like a illegal. They should build that into the sort of international war crimes. Yeah. Of like podcasters have like crazy
the
ass.
Forever Dog press helmet.
Yeah.
Well, the headgum fucking bulletproof. If we had jacket. A larger, like a 3-person Pope mobile, and we could kind of control it from the inside. And just kind of tractor around Invincible style in the middle of it all in the conflict, and really get
putting
people's
a
fingers.
Mic out. Of
yeah,
the little hole.
Have
little
a mic,
hole.
A mic on. Like... yeah,
just bulls bouncing off while you guys talk about when you guys talk about cold plunges.
But it's got a flamethrower on the front.
Oh,
you seen
I
those
call...
tanks from World War One? Those early tanks with the whips on the front. That's what we have on the front. They had like crazy ass metallic whips that would just,
that's
well,
crazy.
It was horrible, but they would run.
Well,
over
what if the podcasters on the other side were like, they were podcasting on their side and like they were beefing with us? Do you think it would be okay for us to battle each other? You know, like maybe we could only fight but we could kill, but only like other podcasters. And there's right. a whole other separate sort of like a faction of the war podcasters, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, are you guys doing journalism or are you just doing entertainment for the troops?
Well, what's interesting is it's becoming a mix as much of the media genre. Has become. Yeah.
Yep.
Joe, do you know about these exoskeleton suits that some of the military is starting to use secretly, privately?
I didn't know that they were a real thing. I love the movie Edge of Tomorrow, but I didn't know that they were really doing that.
They're starting to roll these out secretly.
What is this?
And basically, it's like a suit that you get in that can make it's like a little exoskeleton.
What's an exoskeleton, just for the viewers?
It's like an external skeleton, as they call them.
So that sounds
you can
like
move shit around.
What do you mean by that? A fucking skeleton on the outside of your skin? Just like a vertebrae on your back?
Just like a power suit. It's almost like a power suit. Yeah, they got a vertebrae.
Is it like bulletproof? Like, what's the
no,
point?
No, not mech? Yet. They haven't
developed
it. Is
it like a little mech? Like a halo suit?
It's like early mech, but I would like to see Joe in it. Basically, I'm getting to the fact that I would like to see Joe on the battlefield in a Adult Swim mech. Just take
some anime style Gundam
taking everybody
wing mech.
Out. Yeah. Would you like that, Joe? Would you like to be in a mech, or would you turn that down and go be a father in the woods?
Probably. If there was a real, I don't know. You know, the first generation of mech suits is not going to go as planned.
Oh,
stuff like this with your arms out, and you go out to the front line. And you get
getting crushed.
Shot a thousand times.
You can't even move.
Like just a metal coffin. Just uncomfortable. So hot. You got the Bluetooth playing. You've got fucking Avenged Sevenfold blasting in the ears, but can't move.
Yeah.
Listen to backcountry
being stuck. Speakers.
The speakers are fucking the JBLs.
Yeah. They went to this... I follow a company on Instagram that does speakers for boats, and I wonder if they reached out to them when, like, we're doing a top secret project. We need subwoofers in the mech suit.
No doubt. We're about to get some new tech, because that's how new tech is invented, through subsidies through the government.
Through
the military
war.
Industrial complex.
Yep.
You heard of that term?
Nope.
It's how a lot of our tech comes from. It's military first, and then they say, oh, yeah, this... fucking bed that we made for you know, the sergeants in the military so they could hook up on a bed that just is like doesn't move much. Yeah, that's a Tempur-Pedic bed. We don't have any more use for that. Here you go to the public. Take that.
Awesome.
Man, so we funded the development of Tempur-Pedic mattresses and they're still charging us $5,000 for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
Makes you almost want to start a coup.
Makes you want to be violent.
Makes
you want to be violent towards the officials.
Go to the Tempur-Pedic CEO's house. you know, with us, your friends, and just ask and just talk to them politely.
Have you guys maybe in the other direction? Have you guys like done the YouTube where guys are sleeping on the floor and trying to get good at sleeping on the floor? That's kind of wildernessy. Right, mm-hmm. If you can sleep on the floor, that's worth more money than a Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Wow, is that good for your spine to sleep on the floor?
The guys claim it is. It takes your body some time to adjust, but once you could do it, I mean, campers could do it. But if you can learn how to be comfortable in a tent or on a pad, just a pad in the woods, you can kind of, you know, you can adapt to not even needing that. That's why I think if there's a civil war, I would figure out a way to just get into the woods and hopefully be left alone.
You're off grid.
Dirt kinda. Is comfy.
Not fighting anybody.
Just wow. A statement of peace from Joe Perry.
Right.
We love that.
Well, I like what you're alluding to, Joe, and that's the fact that human beings are very adaptable creatures. And if we weren't adaptable, we would have been killed off by some other type of animal that was competing for resources.
Right.
It's just something that we seem to forget a lot.
Well, we talk about habituating a lot, and I think that it feels so good to habituate. It just feels good. Can I
Got the bell?
Yeah.
You know what? I think think we really had
we
a great
kinda covered
time.
It.
We kind of covered the wilderness. We didn't get into the mental wilderness as much as I would like to, which you mentioned.
Right.
And we didn't get into the etymology because that's such a crazy word. Wilderness. Why didn't they just call it the wild? I guess they did.
Right.
But
in some cultures, it is called the wild.
Okay.
Wow. Well, I think people like this where there's much more to discuss. Like, we don't fully cover everything because we want the audience, you know, begging for the part two, you know, when Joe comes back or something, and we can talk about it further in a different way. You know what I'm saying? But
would love to hear what your guys' settlement in the woods would be like if you guys could run your own
Svetka collab.
And if there's like a civil war, Joe, would you kind of come back on the podcast as like a correspondent, and we can kind of like talk to you week to week about like from your wilderness area, just your takes on it, and like.
Sure, that sounds good. I hope there's not. I don't know. That's the thing. Yeah, all these people like to fantasize about the fighting and stuff, but you could just hang out with friends in the woods if you wanted to.
And if anybody wants to go out, I'll choke you from the front. Choke you out. Because I don't know. I just, I guess I don't want to give people a way to kill themselves through me, but let's just move on.
Wait, are you volunteering yourself to do mercy killings? You don't want to exist in a
slow mercy killings.
No, slow. Very slow. Right,
here's what a lot of people, they. All I'm saying is a lot of people choke people out from the behind them. And I just think there could be a warmer way to do it from the front.
A smiling eye contact.
Oh,
choke out.
Oh, okay. A belly to belly.
A belly to belly choke out. Death, mercy, kill.
Wow. You know about our belly to belly theory, Joe? You know about the belly to belly theory?
B2B.
The idea is men are naturally violent. Men naturally have conflict, and so do women. That's just a human thing. But if you go up to someone all naked and go belly to belly and just sit in that feeling for a while, you touch the skin to skin like a mother to child.
That's
you will naturally start to laugh and giggle and be connected in a new way. And it's very unlikely that that beef will continue after something like that.
Right.
Well, it's pathetic. It's pathetic how undertaken seriously, if there's a word for that, the belly button has become, because that is your original spiritual and whole of love.
It's a
where
portal.
You are connected to your mother and to the entire universe through your belly button. Mm-hmm. Now it's a fucking afterthought. We got Kyle XY treating it like a fucking joke. Yeah, right.
If Hitler and fucking Churchill went belly to belly,
or even belly to ear.
Do you feel, Jack, that we somehow had Navi like tails that fell off and we could at one point connect to. Each other's belly button somehow, or is it
it's
nose
proven.
Thicker?
It's proven. The belly, nobody knows what. So you have an umbilical cord when you're born. Nobody knows what that connects to on the inside, because it's connected to the baby. On the inside, we don't know.
But right, because we can't see inside of there.
I have a theory that there's an organ inside of your heart that we don't know about, and maybe that's where the soul comes from. Because what makes the heart tick? Salt? I don't fucking know. But I just have a feeling there's a reason. I'll just end on this. There's a reason that society wants us to wear shirts.
Oh, interesting. I was going to say, do you think there was a like really early on in human history, like when we first developed our brains, like when people were pregnant, do you think there's one guy who was just like trying to peek up inside to see like what was going on in there?
There are probably more than one.
Eric.
I would never do that, but okay. Well, I feel like we've sort of broken it all down, and Joe, I appreciate you kind of helping us do this thought experiment today on wilderness. But at the end of our podcast, Joe, we like to go around and sort of meditate on what has given us joy, And so I guess we could start. You can think about your joy for a second, but we're going to go around round robin and just go tell us what gave us joy. Jack, I know you have some gambling winnings you'd like to report.
I admit real man doesn't talk about his money, so let's just say I'm the opposite of down. But I will say that my joy, of course, how could it not be the arts? Art makes me go crazy. It makes me want to hug everybody in the world. But there's a movie called La Cabina, okay? 1972. It's a TV short, and it's pretty funny. It's a foreign film, and it's simple. And it's a peaceful and joyful remix on Phone Booth, the movie with Colin Farrell, I believe. Even though it's from the past, so technically that's a remix of the, you see what I'm saying? But this one, the guy's stuck in a phone booth for the whole movie, and he's just stuck. And it's pretty funny what ends up happening. It's fucking strange, I'll say it. I don't want to spoil it.
Strange.
But it's fucking strange. Strange what art. Happens. It's very strange.
Can I say something about a phone booth real quick?
Yeah.
Do you remember those like soundboards that they would have, like early internet? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was one like prank call soundboard that you could use, and like all of them were kind of like Peter Griffin like saying what's up or whatever, and then one of them was like the monologue from Phone Booth with like the sniper calling, like, I have a sniper like pointed at you, I am like in, and it's like really scary, and that was like one of the prank calls that you could make through the soundboard.
Fuck,
wild. Well, let me tell you about what gave me joy. It was I made some meatloaf.
Whoa.
And I honestly kind of forgot about that food item, the meatloaf.
It's good.
It's so easy to make. Like you just mix a bunch of meat and fucking, I made it with Greek yogurt, you know, kind of tried to make it a little healthier. But I can't help but remix. Like, I'm a person that, Eric, I feel like you cook a lot. Do you really stay strict to the recipe? Because, dude,
listen, you got to mix it up, remix it for yourself.
That's what I was remixing it in, just, I don't know, ways that I was scared of, you know, like, is this going to totally fuck up the loaf, the meatloaf? But I just take those risks.
Shaking, putting like a little extra dash of salt.
I just, dude, but it turned out really well. It was good. It was pretty moist, you know. It was cooked delicious. I think, well, but yeah, shout out to the meatloaf, man.
Delicious. Okay, I'll go real quick. We have moved into our new house, and it has been infested. Well, the neighbors have an infestation of bees right behind us. So what a bad omen to come into, right? And I've been having to sweep about. Literally, I'll send you guys a picture. It's just hundreds of bees all dead on the ground. And by the way, they're not in the neighbor's property. They're nowhere to be found except for on our patio. So I feel like this is a sign from someone to leave. But anyways, last night swept them all up. I was feeling kind of down about that outdoor patio. But swept them up, put their bodies into a pile. And then we made some margaritas. And we sat on our back porch. And we still, despite the negative thing that happened, we still had a good time outside.
Wow.
And listened to some music on Bluetooth speakers, and our dog ran all around.
That's and awesome.
So that was a joyful moment.
And I said this before the pod, but I'll repeat it now, but that Eric's life is like it's like a horror movie that never starts. It's just all these like kind of bad.
And I don't
like
understand what that means fully. I don't fully understand what that means, but I think you're right.
Like the first 10 minutes of a horror movie where just kind of like things seem a little off, like what the
hell? I get that now.
Dead.
Yeah,
there's a dead rat exactly on my doorstep.
Oh yeah, Joe, you know about this. Maybe I found all of these bones in my car, in the grill of my car.
Right, like this is
rat bones.
One day I thought there was some sticks sticking out. It's all these bones.
You got to start saving it for when you get into a feud. All these bees. You got to put in the bucket. rat bones.
Rat bones, bees.
You should have sort of sleep apnea, bucket.
Put that on someone else. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, say, oh, you don't want to make my script, and then it's like the Godfather horse head, but except for you got your bucket of beans.
And I don't know how they how producers work, so I do it to a line producer who's barely getting by.
You dump it all a bucket of bees on your head in front of them and just scream at them. Jesus.
Okay, Joe, we're all so curious.
Yeah. Swimming for me on tour, like the best thing you could do is have an afternoon to go swimming. We went swimming in Nashville in a reservoir by a dam. It was okay. It was pretty good, but it was nice. And then in Vancouver, they got these pools right by the water, by the ocean, because I guess it's sometimes too cold. And I guess they think their water is a little dirty in the bay. So they swim in these pools. So Carmen and I got to swim in the pool and Vancouver, and then, just hoping to keep swimming every time we're in a new place this week. Seattle, that's a great place for swimming. San Diego, L.A. So I'm looking forward to trying to plan out where to swim the rest of the tour.
Is it board shorts that you're wearing?
Huge board shorts. I got them down to the, down
to the ankle.
Yeah, chain wallet.
They're like just before
the head
sagging down. Just
at the top of the
see the indent right before the dick starts.
The head of,
and then
the head
down to the ankle.
Penis.
Hey Joe, check this out.
All right, let's go swimming sometime.
Yeah, let's do it. Come in LA on Wednesday. We'll jump in.
Oh, wait.
Oh, we
check
should.
This out and check this
damn.
Out.
Damn.
Are you going swimming? Whoa. Everybody going swimming today?
I'm about to go swimming right now.
Nice. Where?
At the pool at the hotel in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wow.
That's crazy. Well, Joe, do you have anything to plug? Some upcoming tour dates where some tacticians can see you live? You know, Joe is one of the funniest stand-ups on the planet, and he's on tour right now. Do you have any dates? I'm sure they're all fucking sold out, but is there any shows where people can still get fucking tickets to see you coming up?
Plenty of tickets in Los Angeles on July 24th, San Diego 25th, Phoenix and Tucson this fall. I'm gonna be going to Mississippi and Alabama with Todd Berry. And then, I got Oklahoma, Kansas City, and St. Louis in September. So if you want to come out, we'll go swimming in St. Louis, I guess.
Wow.
Let's do it.
Yeah. You heard him. If you are a tactician and you go to Joe's show, you can go
you
swimming
can go
with
them.
You just have to go back. Just go backstage. Don't, like... Well, Joe, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. We love
you. Joe.
This was such an interesting and amazing conversation. And we look forward to having you back soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, guys.
God bless.
Bye, Joe. Thank you.
God is good.
All right, everyone. Peace out.
Well, that concludes another incredible fucking episode of Joy Tactics. Head over to patreon.com/joytactics to unlock exclusive weekly bonus episodes. And make sure to follow us on social media where we post fire TikToks and hilarious shit like that. And if you loved the shit you just listened to, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and remember, we are shaped by our thoughts, we become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves.